I know that I've expressed to you all on several other occasions that I really appreciate you accommodating me and sharing prayer requests as I begin the messages each week. That's something I've not always done until I started being here with you all. I've made more a habit of that. And although sometimes I do consider them to be personal prayer requests, as you see, they are very often ministry related, involving our sister churches and fellow pastors. And it is so important for us to be a praying church. You know, Galatians 6:2 reminds us, it says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." In other words, it is not only the desire of Jesus Christ, but it is the commandment of Jesus Christ that we support one another in bearing our burdens. And then yet another reminder is in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 4, it says, "Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others." And a key component of bearing one another's burdens and looking out for the interest of one another is to continually pray for them. And the Lord invites us to come unto Him. He compels us to draw near. Listen to this verse, Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16 says this, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now that is not our primary focus verse for today, but it is nonetheless a significant verse for us to consider. And I want to read that one more time. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." When that verse tells us to come boldly, listen, that means we can approach the Lord with confidence and without fear, even when we have messed up. Even when we have fallen short, He bids us to come back to Him. Now, most of you probably know the story of the prodigal son in the New Testament. Well, our message today is not about the prodigal son. Maybe that's a sermon for another day soon down the road. But I saw something online this week, and I thought this was really good. It said the primary point that Jesus was making in the story of the prodigal son in that parable, his primary point was to come back home. To come back home. And I know I started here this morning talking about the importance of prayer, and maybe I've gotten off the subject just a little bit, a little sidetracked, but not really, because my point is, don't ever hesitate to pray just because you've been away for a while, or because maybe you feel like you've not been living as you should. Listen, part of prayer is confession and repentance. And when we confess and repent, He is faithful to extend His grace, His mercy, and His love. And we will be talking a good bit more about that here today. But yes, we do need to pray, and we do need to seek our Lord. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for our fellow churches. We need to pray for our nation. And we need to pray for our government leaders. And I emphasized that quite a bit last week, and I want to do so again here today. Now, we've seen a little bit of unrest in our nation over the past week. And really, that's nothing new, is it? It just reminds us of the need to seek the Lord and pray. You may have seen in your bulletins, that's the title that I gave to our message today, Seek Him and Pray. And if you were here last Sunday, you might recall that I ended the message last week with a familiar verse from 2 Chronicles 7:14. And last week I said that I might use that as our starting verse for today. Well, since I've already shared a couple of other verses this morning, I suppose this one is now not our starting verse, but it is our focus verse for today's message. So if you have your Bibles or the Bible app on your phone for our young people, or however you want to do that, I invite you to find with me 2 Chronicles 7:14. Some of you may know it from memory, but it is a beautiful verse and it serves as a very important reminder to God's church today. Let's read these words from 2 Chronicles 7:14. The Lord says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their sinful ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land." Now again, those are words from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It is a very well-known verse, but also a very significant verse. And I want to spend some time today dissecting and analyzing this verse. I want you to listen to these words once again. The Lord says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land." Now, I believe this verse is particularly significant for us today because we see the need both inside and outside of the church. Outside of the church, we see a troubled nation, a morally corrupt society. But my friends, inside the church, we see a people in need of revival and renewal. We see a people who need not only to awaken from spiritual slumber, but a people who need to repent of sin and draw closer to God. And this verse addresses those issues, both internally within the church and externally. And as we begin to analyze our focus verse this morning, I want you to notice that 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a conditional statement. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, even at the beginning of the verse, the first word is if. If. It starts with a condition and then it lays out the specifics of that condition. It then goes on to present the results if that condition is fulfilled. Some of you may remember an old computer programming language from years ago. It was so basic that that's what it was called. Basic. I see Reed nodding your head a little bit. But in fact, they created an acronym with those letters, BASIC. And it was Beginner's All-Purpose Symbolic Instruction Code. And I realize that I'm starting to reveal what a nerd I really am for knowing that. Okay? But yes, I do remember it. And there is a valid point that I'm about to make in this, okay? But I even took classes in GW Basic back in the day. And one thing I do remember is what was called an if-then statement. Okay, is anyone else a computer geek like me and you remember if-then statements? Well, what it meant was, is if a specific condition or criteria was met, then proceed to the next phase. But if not, the program would then take the next path. You could assign variables. You could say, if this part equals this, then do that, and so on. But that is what was called an if-then statement. And those words were actually in the command line of the program. You could type things like, if X equals 100, then go to line 500, and such things as that. Now, I'm not going to dwell on that part anymore because I'm probably boring y'all with it. But the point that I want to draw from that is that 2 Chronicles 7:14, our focus verse for today, also contains a specific sequence of if these things happen, then these things will be the result. So what are those things? It starts out saying if, and I'm once again emphasizing that word if, but it says, if my people. Now remember, this is the Lord speaking. This verse comes to the account of the dedication of the Old Testament temple. This was the Lord's direct reply to Solomon in his prayer after they dedicated the temple to the Lord. So take note that not only are these words directly from the mouth of God, but notice in particular that he is addressing his own people. Now, at the time this passage was originally written, it was specifically to the Hebrew people. When God spoke and acknowledged his people, that was to the Jewish nation, the Hebrew people who were followers and seekers of the Lord. But let's expand that definition now. And I'm talking about that phrase, God's people. And I want to share a verse from the New Testament. I'm going to share a verse from Acts chapter 28. There's actually a lot of verses I could have used to make this next point. But I want to read from Acts chapter 28. But let me set the background first. The Apostle Paul, who remember was a former Pharisee, a very devout Jew in the traditions of the Jewish religion. But Paul, a former Pharisee who had found Jesus Christ, he had been debating with some of the Jewish religious leaders, those who had never acknowledged Jesus as being God's Messiah. And in the beginning of this debate, in verse 25, Paul is telling them how Isaiah the prophet spoke accurately about them when he said they would hear, but they would not understand, and they would see, but they would not perceive. In other words, what Paul was talking about is how many of the Hebrew people had rejected God's Messiah, Jesus Christ. But then in verse 28, and again, this is Acts 28, chapter 28, verse 28, Paul tells them this. He says, therefore, let it be known to you. And again, he's speaking to Jewish religious leaders. Let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. They will listen. Again, that's Acts 28:28. Now, that may have seemed a little off subject this morning, but really it's not. And let me tell you why. Because when that verse talks about the salvation of God now being extended to the Gentiles, that means that we, all of us, anyone who is not of Hebrew ancestry, we also are now included under the umbrella of God's grace through Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross for the sins of mankind, he did so in order that whosoever, just like that word says in John 3:16, whosoever, whoever is willing to receive him can be redeemed. Let me share another passage in this same regard. Also from the New Testament, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. And this is speaking of Jesus Christ. John 1, 11 and 12 says, he came unto his own, but his own did not receive him. But, it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Now that is very important because it reminds us as those who believe in and follow after Jesus Christ, we have been gifted the right to be called the children of God. And this all ties back to our verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14 when the Lord says, my people. In the Old Testament, that was a reference only to the Hebrews. But praise be to God, because of what Jesus did, we now have a part in that. We are the people of God, but are we living like it? Folks, when we call ourselves Christians, we literally bear the name of Jesus Christ. So going back to our focus verse today, 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord says, if my people, who are called by my name. We call ourselves Christians. That's the name of Christ, folks. He is talking to his people, and in this day and time, that means the church. It means those who are the redeemed of Jesus Christ. It's talking about us, and I hope and pray that we are listening. He says, if my people who are called by my name will do what? Humble themselves, which means getting rid of selfishness and pride. It means putting aside our own ego and placing the needs of others above our own. Now, how would we define being humble? Maybe the easiest way is to list the opposite of humility. The opposite of humility, that would be arrogance, a smug, inflated opinion of ourselves. That's the opposite of being humble. But humbleness is getting rid of any arrogance or conceit and instead acknowledging our place as mere sinners redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, God will not use the heart that is prideful. You know, we talk about the need for revival in our church, but the church will not experience revival until we develop an attitude of humility in our lives. In Matthew 23:12, Jesus said, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled." But he said, "Whoever humbles himself will then be exalted." It's Matthew 23:12, and we see identical words in Luke 14:11. So as we approach that throne of grace that we spoke of earlier, we must approach with an attitude of humility and an attitude of reverence. And then do what? Pray. Pray. I mentioned earlier that we as the church are a people in need of revival and renewal. And the first step in that, first step to remedy that is to be on our knees before God. But let me clarify something. Being on your knees is not a requirement for humble prayer. Oh, it's certainly a good practice for us to have at times, and it demonstrates our humble dependence upon Him. But I know for some people with physical limitations, it may be hard for you to get on your knees, and that's okay. Still, for others, sometimes your circumstances aren't necessarily convenient to being on your knees. And again, that's okay. Don't focus on the wrong part. And I want to be very careful how I say this because I don't want to minimize the literal act of getting on our knees in prayer, because it is a humble act of sincerity that we should all participate in as we are able. Do I pray on my knees? Yes, I do. Do I always pray on my knees? No, I do not. Folks, you approach God how the circumstances fit. You certainly don't have to be on your knees for your prayers to be sincere. I know y'all have heard me say this more than a couple of times, but when we pray, God is not evaluating your choice of words. He's looking at your heart. God's also not evaluating your posture because He sees your heart. God looks at your sincerity and He beckons unto you to come to Him with a sincere heart and then talk to Him. Talk to Him. And as you talk to God, do more than just present your needs and your request. Give Him praise. Acknowledge Him as your Creator and your Redeemer. Offer your worship and show Him your gratitude for His blessings. Thank Him for His love and express your love for Him in return. You see, that kind of praying is more than just asking for things. It is drawing near unto God. And the Bible tells us in James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Draw near unto God, and He will draw near unto you." And that leads us to the next part of our focus verse, to seek His face. Going back once again to 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "Humble yourselves, pray, and then seek His face." You see, one thing that I believe hinders us is that too often we seek the blessing of God, but not the face of God. To seek His face, and that is what the verse says, to seek His face, that makes it personal. Sometimes we focus on the gift rather than the giver of the gift, but seek rather to know Him in a personal and intimate way. Don't rush so quickly into your prayer time. Take the time to get still and quiet before Him in His holy presence, and then let Him speak to your heart. We could spend a lot more time on this point, but I know we need to keep going in the verse. The Lord tells us to humble ourselves, pray, seek His face, and then He says what? Turn from your wicked ways. And wicked is the word used in that verse, and I found that was the word in most all of the English translations. And you know, we see a lot of wickedness in our society today. Now, we may think that word wicked is a harsh word when it applies back to us, but it is in the verse, is it not? I mean, let's be honest. We all have sin in our lives, and God is calling us to repent of that sin. I mentioned a moment ago that I mentioned some of the different aspects that we need to include in our prayers. You remember I said don't leave out praise, worship, thanksgiving. Well, here's another one, confession. And what is confession? It is acknowledging our sin and admitting it, telling God that we know we have fallen short. Let me share a great verse about confession. It's 1 John 1:9, and it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And praise God for that. But listen, just as confession is important, so is repentance. Confession is admitting our sin. Repentance is forsaking it, turning away from it. And that's what 2 Chronicles 7:14 is telling us to do, to turn from our sinful ways. And then what happens? It's that conditional statement that we talked about earlier. Remember when I said it's an if-then kind of statement? If specific conditions are met, then here are the direct results. What did our verse say again? I'm going to recap it a little bit. If my people who are called by my name will do what? Humble themselves, pray, seek His face, and turn from our sinful ways, then the Lord said He would do what in response? He will hear from heaven, will forgive our sin, and heal our land. We're told, do these certain things and then watch what God will do in return. But I do want to clarify something. In evaluating 2 Chronicles 7:14, we must realize that the conditions presented in this verse, they're not just to be a formula to produce a desired result, but rather they are to be a way of life for us. The principles we see here, we're to live by them. As we humble ourselves, may we also reevaluate our commitment to God. Make prayer not just a daily routine, but a personal priority in your lives. Listen, my friends, if we are going to see an outpouring of God in our lives, then we also must first pour out ourselves before God. As we seek His face, may we have a hungering and a thirsting, a longing after God. It's like that familiar psalm that says in Psalm 42:1, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for You, O God. May it be the desire of our hearts and the longing of our soul to know Him. You see, it's one thing just to have a factual knowledge about God, but it's quite another thing to know Him in a deep, personal way. Seek His face. Not just factual knowledge. Don't just seek His benefits. seek His face. Don't just seek for His protection or His direction. Seek His face. And then as we draw closer to Him, we will start seeing more of a desire to forsake sin and to live according to His Word. You see, part of repentance is examining our lives before God. Psalm 139, verse 23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You know, it would be a safe assumption that if all of us who are in this room today were to openly and honestly search our hearts before God, we would all find areas that could be improved. And I'm not pointing a finger at anyone and saying, oh, someone here's out living in blatant sin. But listen, here's what I'm talking about. Is I know there's things in my life that could use a little polishing. Amen. Search your hearts. And as that verse said just a moment ago, allow Him to search your hearts. Looking once more back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If we do these things that are presented in this verse and we make them our way of living, what are the results then? If we, as His people who are called by His name, will humble ourselves, pray, seek His face, and then turn from our sin, then He will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. Well, think about that word for a moment. Healing. Boy, do we need healing in this day and time. And you know, we can talk about our world needing healing. We can talk about our nation needing healing. But let's be honest. We could use healing in the church today. Amen. And that word healing, that applies to more than just illness. It implies a restoration. And it is my prayer that God's church would experience healing and restoration. And that we as individuals will experience spiritual healing. And we will do that when we accept the conditions of revival presented in this verse. When we accept it and we submit to it and we then put it into practice, then we will experience a mighty move of God. Now let's go back to the last part of our focus verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Let's think once more about the ending portion, the things which are the end result. And what I'm talking about is the outcome, God's response to His people. I know I kind of fast-forwarded to the part that talks about healing. And yes, we do see the desperate need for healing in our churches and in our own nation. But even prior to that in the verse, God promises that He will hear. He will hear our prayers. I know we talked earlier about the need to pray and how important that is. But my friends, can we just get excited for a moment that not only is the very Creator of all the universe inviting us into His presence, but He also assures us that He is listening to us. My friends, He cares for each of you. A simple but very profound verse is 1 Peter 5:7, which says, "Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." And let me very quickly share another exciting verse from this same book we're studying in this morning, 2 Chronicles. This is 2 Chronicles 16:9. Listen to what this says. This is straight from the Word of God. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His." Wow, folks, not only is He watching and listening, but He is eager to bless. And I know our time has slipped away, and I know I need to wrap this up. But again, looking at the last words of the verse here, our Lord will listen, our Lord will heal. And I know I'm taking them out of order, but lastly, I want to emphasize, He will forgive. Our verse tells us, when we humble ourselves, pray, seek His face, and turn from sin, He will forgive. And as we do prepare to close today, I want to talk for just a moment about why that is possible. Our forgiveness from sin is made possible only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I know I mention that almost every week, but it's just that important. And I typically don't ever like to end a sermon without addressing that there could be someone listening who needs to experience redemption through Jesus Christ. And it is urgently important because someone's eternity could be at stake. And what I mean is, if someone has never trusted in Jesus as their Savior and Lord, then their soul is destined to an eternity of condemnation in hell. But listen, through Jesus and through His sacrifice on the cross, that means our sins are atoned if you have opened your heart unto Him and received that gift. You see, we can't earn our way into heaven. You can't live good enough that you make it. In fact, I hate it when I hear people use that phrase regarding heaven. I hope I make it. Folks, none of us will ever be good enough on our own. You don't just make it to heaven. Why? Because we are all sinners. But Jesus was the sinless, perfect one. And He laid down His own precious life on our behalf in order to pay the penalty due for our sins. And that is God's gift of love unto mankind, if you will but receive it. Will you receive it? Will you humbly open your heart to God and admit that you are a sinner? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Holy Son of God? And will you acknowledge that He laid down His life to atone for your sins? Do you believe that after 3 days in the grave, God raised Him from the dead? And are you ready right now to receive Him as your Savior and commit to Him as your Lord? I urge you, reach out to God in prayer. Just tell Him that you know you're a sinner in need of His forgiveness. Thank Jesus for dying for your sins. Ask Jesus to come into your heart as your Savior and commit to live for Him as your Lord. And then confess Him unto others as you now begin to live a new life with Him living through you. I urge you to do that if you have never done so. As we have our time of invitation here in just a moment, I want to invite you to come forward. If you've never prayed that prayer to receive Jesus Christ, I would be so honored to lead you in that. Or maybe you have prayed that prayer, but you just want to publicly let it be known that you have given your life to Jesus Christ. Oh, how wonderful that would be for you to come. Or, you know, the invitation is not just for those who are new followers of Jesus. Maybe someone got saved long ago, but you just want to come today and rededicate your life this morning. Please do that here today. Maybe someone has a prayer burden today and you want to come forward and maybe pray for someone else. That's what this time is all about. Maybe someone wants to come and unite with this church, becoming an official member of Waleska First Baptist Church. Listen, you come today as well. Whatever the need is, we're going to pray, and then we'll sing our hymn of invitation, I Surrender All. Let's pray. Our Father, it is in the name of Jesus, our risen Savior and Lord, that we approach Your throne of grace. Father, I thank You for lessons learned in Your Word. I thank You for speaking to my heart repeatedly, Lord, as I was praying through this message for today. And I just pray, Father, that You would continue to work this message in our lives and in our church, that we would be a people, the people who are called by Your name, that we will humble ourselves and pray every day, make prayer a priority and seek Your face. Father, then that we would turn from wicked, sinful ways. Father, I thank You for the promises You've given, that You will forgive our sin, hear our prayers, and heal our land. Heal our church. Thank You, Father. We praise You and ask that Your Holy Spirit would continue to have Your way in this time of invitation. Lord, stir people's hearts. It's in Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen.